Waiver Wired is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet and you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
What's going on, everybody? Week 12, Thanksgiving week is here. It's the most fun week of the football season, in my opinion. And maybe that's because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. So I grew up always watching football on Turkey Day. But Eddie, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Jen. And I have to ask you, since you just brought it up, do you enjoy always having football on during the holiday? Because like, I'm now experiencing this. I honestly couldn't even tell you the last time the Giants played on Thanksgiving. In my memory, I can't remember it. But I love the fact that it's like there's football on and I don't have to have the pressure of worrying about my team. I'm just going to stuff my face and watch, you know, watch your Cowboys, watch the Lions, watch whoever plays. So like, do you enjoy it? Are you just used to it at this point? Because like, I'm pretty
I don't really know what would happen otherwise. What would you do? It just is like, okay, be at Uncle Ron and Aunt Terry's by 1 o'clock because the Cowboys game will be on and then we'll eat dinner after that. You know, like that's just the way it is. So I don't know, Eddie, like, what is it like to not be a Cowboys fan and not have your game play on Thanksgiving? You just told me it's less stressful.
Fantastic. It's fantastic. It's great. I get to root against the Cowboys. I watch the Lions put up their effort, usually in a loss. And like I said, I'm just enjoying the food and it's just like a pressure-free Thursday, which is great. You enjoy watching meaningful games, like you said, impactful games. We're now, you know, late November, but not having to like stress over a win or a loss. Like I can imagine, I don't feel too great about this Giants Cowboys game because of the Giants injuries, but like a close loss in a meaningful game, I feel like it would just ruin me. It would ruin the holiday for me.
Yeah. Interestingly, that Wandale Robinson injury has moved the line because it opened at 7.5 and now it's at 9. I was going to ask you today if you wanted to put, you know, a little wager on the game. You take your Giants, I take my Cowboys, but I understand others on the network have already made you this offer. And you probably got a better one than anything I was going to offer you.
You said it yourself, Jen. I mean, the Wandale Robinson injury is one of many injuries that happened to the Giants. Dory Jackson on defense, obviously dealing with like, you know, three offensive linemen are going to be out. It's just not a good scenario. And the Lions last week, they kind of figured out the method of how to stop the Giants. And that's if you just stuff the box, don't let Saquon do his thing. The Giants undefeated when they run the ball 31 times. The Giants have three losses on the season when they run less than 31 times. I can see the Dallas Cowboys taking after that kind of approach and not letting Saquon get in started. So I don't really love the Giants getting 9 points in this one. I like the Cowboys to win this game just because of the lack of healthy talent. They're all playing practice squad players, but the deal I did make with Sal was that, you know, he wanted to do a cap of consequences. I like, you know, partaking in those. I said, just give me Giants plus 3, give me the Giants in a field goal and I'll do your bet, because he didn't want to do a bet with the points. So I'm now going to have to probably put like stuffing and gravy on my head or something again.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking we could do some kind of a wager, but then I was thinking about how this network goes crazy with cap of consequences. And I was thinking about Megan Gailey eating cold clam chowder from a can. And I was just, and by the way, she's amazing. I don't know how she did that. She like powered it down, didn't flinch. I would have probably been gagging the whole time. I don't think I could have done it.
No,
I
mean, she's honestly a beast. She's a beast. That was disgusting. Like lukewarm. I can't. The smell of that. And I love clam chowder. I went to school in Boston, but it's got to be warm and probably not from Campbell. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, everything about it wasn't good. We did have a little more success this week with our picks. We complain every week on the show at how poorly we're doing picking games, but this week we did well. Eddie, you went 7-5-1, which is awesome. I went 9-3-1. So that was tied with, I think, Brother Bry and who, Hinch?
You're right at the top. The winners this week.
For the week, not for the season.
You, Brother Brian Hinch, went 9-3-1. I was with Dave, Harry, and Parlay Kid at 7-5-1. So we had great weeks. You led. You were tied for the lead. I can't imagine how good that feels. It's been brutal for us. So you're now back on top. I'm very happy that Team Waiver Wired had a very good week picking games. I did feel the board was a little bit easier last week. I did feel pretty good about my picks. Yeah.
I did too. I'm not 100% dialed in for this week yet. So I've got to figure out my picks. But anyway, if you guys want to play with us, you know, you can play with us at extrapoints.com/arcade. The winner of each week gets $100. Mm-hmm. Is that right still?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's like more than we make for these podcasts.
$100 and a gold cap. I mean, if you enter both these free contests, you're going to come out like $100 richer and with a nice hat. You can't beat it. Sign up is free. Again, folks, I can't emphasize it enough. It's a lot of fun to play. You're competing with us. And it's just, there's no loss. Like, you just sign up for free.
There's
if you
no
don't
loss.
Win, whatever.
It's
if you do
fun.
Win, great. Yep.
Yeah. And you can make fun of us when we lose too, and we don't even mind, because that's what we're here for. Okay, everybody. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CAESARFULL, that's CAESARFULL, and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more. And because Caesars plays by the rules, here comes the lengthy responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and older must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? In Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Boston, your city, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So for fantasy this week, Eddie, we have all teams back. No
yes.
teams on a bye. And that's really fun until sometimes you have to start making some tough start sit decisions, because it's sometimes, you know, when teams are on bye, it's almost easier for me because I'm like, well, look, I don't even have the option to play Raheem Mostert this week. So I don't have to worry about whether he was the guy to start in this backfield. But now you've got everybody back this week. So there will be some tough start sit decisions. Be sure to tweet us if you need any help with them at Extra Points Pod, at that Eddie Murphy, at Jen Piacenti. But let's break down what's going on this week. Three Thanksgiving Day games, full slate of Sunday, and a Monday night barn burner, I'm sure, between the Steelers and the Colts. Looks like Robert Saleh is not committing to Zach Wilson versus the Bears. We know Justin Fields is banged up a little bit with his shoulder, but it is not his throwing arm. Justin Fields, again, continues to be fantastic for fantasy. No, he wasn't the number one guy this week, but he was still a top, top quarterback. I don't see how you don't start him ever moving forward, to be honest. Zach Wilson, on the other hand, I really want them to make a change the same way I wanted them to make a change back to Matt Ryan, because all the fantasy weapons have been so much better around him now that Matt Ryan has been back in charge for the past 2 weeks. By the way, Matt Ryan, past two games, okay, it was a fantasy dud this week, but 73.3% completion rate across the past two games. No interceptions. He took four sacks this week, but he almost led them to an upset victory versus the Eagles. So I would say it's kind of working. I mean, not that it's rocket science, you know, use more Jonathan Taylor, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It's working, and it's working really well for our fantasy assets like Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell too. So that's good news.
Yeah. Just to jump in there with the Jets, Zach Wilson, that seems to be the kind of story of the week. Again, another very, very high draft pick that people had a lot of faith in, a team that's pretty much built to win now. I would say the Jets have enough weapons. Their defense is playing very, very well. Ursula, who's a defensive mind, mastermind there. And it's just the quarterback did not really work out. And I know they want to make the change. I do think in the short term, maybe the change will help at least some of the fantasy weapons. We know that Garrett Wilson came out kind of blasting the offense. He's not thrilled. I think maybe if we put in another quarterback, you could have a spark with those guys, because something's just not right with Zach Wilson. I mean, the Jets averaged 2.77 inches per play in the second half versus the Patriots. 2.77 inches. He clearly is not getting it done. And then to make matters worse, and I'm sure you saw this, Jen, or heard this, but like the comments he makes after the game. So it's one thing to like play poorly and then own up and say, hey, this is on me. But for him to say the offense is not at fault, it's just not going to sit well with your teammates. And that's why Robert Saleh said, look, all things are on the table. We could move on from him. I think the Jets clearly have a quarterback issue. And for a team that has some fantasy studs on there, obviously Breece Hall was injured. The receivers, like I mentioned, I think they do need to make a switch for the here and now. And, you know, they are playing the Bears. And if Justin Fields is playing, I know Matt Eberflus said he could be either day-to-day or he could be out for the season, which is probably the biggest range and injury that I've ever heard. But I do think he'll play. And if he does play, the Bears are getting points in this game. And I just love the Bears in this one. Justin Fields, reversely of what Zach Wilson did, you know, injured shoulder on a, you know, he also got a couple late hits too in that game. A lot of, you know, he slides a lot and still gets dinged up, and it's kind of unfair to him. But then he goes in front of the whole team and says, look, the defense gave us a chance to win. The offense failed. That is what Zach Wilson should have done. So good job by you, Justin Fields. And I do like the Bears a lot this week.
2.77 inches per play.
And not, I mean, nuts.
Guys, no matter what your girlfriend has told you, it is not impressive. Okay.
Moving on. Wait, I thought that's massive, but I don't know. I don't know.
No.
All right.
Not a start. Sorry, Zach.
This changes everything.
Commanders are going to stick with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. Oh, I wish I'd go back to Matt Ryan for a second. It's unlikely that you need to stream a quarterback this week because everybody's back. However, if you're in a super flex league, if you don't trust Matt Stafford, should Justin Fields end up not playing, et cetera, Matt Stafford is streamable because he's got the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, and they've allowed the most passing yards to opposing quarterbacks, 22 passing touchdowns. It's just the kind of matchup that could be good for Matt Ryan. And again, as we mentioned, now that they're getting the run game back involved, that opens things up for him, and he should have more success going forward. We will cross our fingers and hope so. Commanders sticking with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback instead of Carson Wentz, at least for the time being. They're getting the job done. They've got to already be looking like with their eyes on maybe they can make the postseason, right?
If the Commanders were playing in any other division besides the NFC Beast, they would really be in a really good spot for the playoffs here. And I think it's a smart move. It stinks for a team to make the transition and spend money and whatever on a quarterback like Carson. Once you bring him in, obviously his past few years have been pretty checkered. But I do give the Commanders credit for just, you know, swallowing that and just being like, hey, we messed up here. Heinicke, he's been playing well. We're going to leave him in. Again, the same kind of thing as the Jets, but there are some great fantasy weapons on this offense. And to have a quarterback who gets the most out of them, I think is a great move. I think that if they want to win games, Heinicke's the option. And he may be the long-term quarterback if they keep winning games, like you said. And it could, you know, flirt with the playoffs. It's you kind of swallow your pride, but ultimately a good move by the Commanders.
Yeah, and their matchup this week also excellent versus Atlanta, who have been very generous to opposing offenses in every single way. Antonio Gibson now, with no J.D. McKissic, getting more involved in the passing game, just putting up solid four for you every week. Taylor Heinicke could even be okay. Terry McLaurin didn't have a great game this week, but in general has been really good with Heinicke. Logan Thomas, if you need to stream a tight end. And by the way, let's talk about Kyle Pitts. Guys, I just want to say, I'm so sorry that Kyle Pitts is injured, but for your fantasy team, isn't it just easier this way? Because now he's just on the IR. You don't have to make that tough decision every week. Should I start the stud tight end I drafted in round 3, 4, or 5 of my fantasy draft? No, you shouldn't, because he can't play. And it just makes it easier. It's just easier. Logan Thomas is someone you could stream. Juwan Johnson is someone you could stream. 5 touchdowns across the past 5 games. Tough matchup this week, but at this point, we are really digging the bottom of the barrel. Foster Moreau has a great matchup with Seattle, who's allowed a ton of touchdowns to the tight end position. So, you know, good luck at tight end. Sorry, guys. Basically, if you drafted Travis Kelce, you're having the last laugh right now.
Yeah, I mean, Jen, like we talked about all year long doing this show, it's trying to find the tight end is quite hard unless you spent a pretty penny on someone like Kelce or, I guess, Mark Andrews when he was healthy. And you probably spent a pretty penny on Kyle Pitts. And that's why this injury, like you're just giving some finality to the problem. And it's, I'll never watch, if like Kyle Pitts is a bust, and let's just say the next couple of years he doesn't, you know, amount to what we thought, I'm never going to read a mock draft or like I'll watch college football ever again. Because like, this is a guy that coming into the league, they were like, Kyle Pitts, he'll be the Hall of Fame by 2040. He's already the Falcons' best player in the history of the franchise. Like, this was a sure thing. His comps were like, you know, Kelce plus Gronk plus like LeBron James. Yep. Like, he could do everything on the field. It's an insane, like, and then nothing comes of it. And it's not like the Falcons' offense has been putrid. Like, it's kind of a bunch of mixed parts. You know, they're throwing in Mariota. They did draft Drake London, rookie receiver. Cordell Patterson went healthy, obviously makes a lot of plays, special teams and on offense. Like, there are parts there. There are other pieces. They're not a lackluster 2.77 inches in second half like the Jets. Like, they're a good offense, and it just does not make sense to them. So I apologize on all those folks who took him super early, expecting big things. I wasn't even around to draft him because he went so early, because I did expect really, really big things from Kyle Pitts. And it just does not make sense.
It doesn't make sense. But it is what it is, right? I mean, we get so excited. This is why, even like sometimes with dynasty leagues, I think dynasty managers get too crazy trading away guaranteed players for all these future picks. They're so sure. And this is why they never win. You got to stop and win sometimes. Kyle Pitts was a tight end drafted way too early, as we can see in retrospect, right? So anyway, it traditionally doesn't work out, but I didn't want to say that about Kyle Pitts because he was so talented. I didn't say anything. I just sat and watched it, but I was thinking in my head, this never works out.
That's a bizarre one. I'll never understand it. I do think he'll turn his career around. But yeah, it's just very strange. There's no other explanation.
Now, Eddie, we talked about the Cowboys Giants game, and I'm wondering if the real outcome of this game, the real bet winner or loser, is whoever ends up signing Odell Beckham Jr. when this is over, right? Yeah. Because I think I understand Odell Beckham Jr. is going for dessert after the game with like Jerry Jones and the crew, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we do have Southern Hospitality in Dallas. I think they're going to need to put on a show for OBJ. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we don't need OBJ. What did we beat Minnesota 40-3? Sorry, I'm getting a little team happy right now, but they finally looked like the offense we expect and the defense we expect at the same time.
Yeah, That's actually a really good point, because I've been saying all along, to me, it makes the most sense for him to go to your Cowboys. And the reason why is because I just think the extra piece that offense could use. But after that performance versus the Minnesota Vikings, it's like, do you really need him? And maybe he's thinking, oh, like, they have it figured out. I should go somewhere where I actually could be a factor. I don't think the Giants are even in question. I just think what he's doing is keeping the Giants name involved just to not really anger the fan base, because I think Odell truly did love being a Giant. I think he truly does love New York. And I just think he wants to keep everyone in his good graces. Now, if he goes and signs the Cowboys, he kind of loses that. There's no reason for him to go to the Giants, even with him. They're still very, very injured. And at this point, their playoff hopes are up in the air. And why go to a team that throws the ball 20 times a game? Like, the Giants they win games by running the football. All their victories have come in games where they run the ball 31 or more times. So I just don't see the reason for him to go there. I think Dak is playing very well. He'll make life easier for CeeDee Lamb. There'll be mismatch nightmares. I mean, even now with Tony Pollard getting so involved in the passing game, Dallas is the home run pick. Maybe the Chiefs, especially with now Kadarius Toney also banged up, but the Chiefs don't need him. The Chiefs could.
They don't. I was at the game.
Yeah. Oh yes. I wanted to hear about that.
So I was at the Chiefs and Chargers game at SoFi. It was amazing. We were down on the field and we were right up close to Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. We had press passes and, it was interesting watching them before the game. Like, I just had a feeling when I walked around, I was like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is going to win this game. Like, I knew the Chiefs were going to win after walking the field. I don't know if you can know that or not, but I felt like that. And I wasn't sure they were going to cover the spread. I took them to cover the spread. That was one of my losses. But they did lose Kadarius Toney, et cetera. But when I was walking around the field, you could see, like, Justin Herbert is a very cerebral player. He had, like, his earphones and he was, like, thinking and concentrating. He's also a god. He looks like freaking Thor or something up close. Like, oh my goodness. It's not just on TV, ladies. Then I was walking around and then I came around where Patrick Mahomes was, and he's like this, he looks like Kermit the Frog. He's a goofball, but he's like out here, like doing his little dance, swishing around, barely throwing the ball. And he has this confidence about him. Like, he just doesn't, like, nothing phases into him. He looks like, so I looked at him and I was like, that is probably the most confident with himself player I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, Justin Herbert looked like dialed in and great and like you could trust him, but there was just this weird, amazing confidence about Patrick Mahomes. You walk by and you're like, oh, this is, he can, and he did. And that's exactly how it played out. That final minute of the game was insane. It was such a good game. Joshua Palmer, absolutely fantastic. I hope you guys didn't drop Joshua Palmer. Pick him up if you did, because Mike Williams, you know, screwed me. Don't get me started. Lost by 5 points in my big money league. Would have been just fine if he'd have just finished that game. Just finish the game, Mike. Anyway, great game. We got to hang out with Sean Merriman. He like invited us into his suite. So we got to go down there. Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun.
Yes, I wanted to hear about this. I saw you, Fabs, hanging out there and incredible SoFi Stadium. Everyone get there if you could afford to. It's an amazing place. And I was lucky enough as well to see Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you remember this game years back. This was actually at the Coliseum. The Rams Chiefs Thursday night game. They wore like the yellow uniforms and it was like 56, 55, whatever it was. Gerald Everett ended up scoring a touchdown to win the game for the Rams. But the same kind of reaction you had to Patrick Mahomes is what I had too. He is he's loose, cool, calm, collected, but he has this confidence. It's like he has eyeballs everywhere. He has like an aerial view of the field where he's just like the ball is snapped and he just moves around and he knows exactly what to do with it. And that's why he's the best. I think there is now a clear gap between him and everyone else in the NFL. And, you know, in the fantasy world, people kind of roll their eyes. And when everyone reaches for the Patrick Mahomes very early on in draft, there's so many quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera. I'm getting to the point now where it's like, if you take him that high, it's like, I get it. Like, he's just this good. He does not lose in November and December. Does not lose to AFC West opponents on the road. Like, this guy is a winner.
Need him for your fantasy playoffs.
Right. And then that also usually translates to scoring points, scoring a lot of points, which the Chiefs do. And that's why he is incredible.
Yeah, he is incredible. And it was an incredible game. It was a really good battle for everybody. The stadium's fantastic. Highly recommend going if you ever get the chance. So anyway, Chiefs Chargers, great Sunday night game. Recommend SoFi Stadium. You want to hit some waiver wire topics really quick?
Sure.
The top people to add. Of course, some things that we noticed, some observations. Eddie jotted some down that I agree with. Yeah, Jamal Williams, 3 touchdowns. Justin Jackson led in touches, but they have DeAndre Swift. I think this is Jamal Williams, really. The only one you can feel confident starting right now is Jamal Williams. You can flex DeAndre Swift, but I don't think he has the eye of the tiger that suddenly Jamal Williams has. I don't know why, but you saw it on Hard Knocks when they were like,
I was just going to say, but it's like the Hard Knocks season, it almost confuses in a way, because they were like, well, Jamal Williams is the heart and soul of the team. He's when they showed, you know, he was crying, he's passionate. He seemed just like everyone loved him immediately. And but then they would kind of switch to DeAndre Swift, and they're like, but DeAndre Swift is this is the guy. This is the one. He could be the best running back in the league. I think actually they're one of their coaches said that, like, you could be the best running back in the league this year. And then now it's like, oh no, this is Jamal Williams going to score 15 touchdowns this year, if not more. Like, this is his backfield. I don't get what's going on.
I don't either. I did have Justin Jackson kind of do well on one of my benches, and I was like, well, that's interesting. So yeah, something to keep an eye on. Cam Akers, yeah, season high rushing total. Who cares? You know what? Yeah. Stay away from the Rams backfield. Just don't do it.
That's perfect.
It's a dumpster fire.
I love that.
The second you start him, it's going to be a disaster. Just back away slowly. Samaje Perine, on the other hand, you know what? We'll talk about him in a second. We go over our waiver picks. James Cook, yes, more rushing yards on fewer carries than Devin Singletary. Did have a really great game. They called his number more often. He was out there same amount of snaps, but he just got so, but you got to wonder, like, with Nyheim Hines there, is that going to last? So again, deeper league, yeah, pick him up. You have a deep bench, not startable yet. Saints, Andy Dalton. Yeah, we're okay with Andy Dalton. And yeah, Tony, I love Eddie wrote here on our show that Tony Pollard is the man. Tony Pollard is the man. But you know, it's interesting. Babs and I were talking about this on our show on Sirius XM on Sunday mornings. By the way, you guys can always catch that at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on Sunday mornings to get you ready for your fantasy football day. I just knew Zeke was going to get touchdowns. I'm like, you can't not start Zeke. You have to at least flex him, because he's going to do the thing where he gets you like 30 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then basically that's kind of what he did, because that's what Zeke does. And Zeke does help give Tony Pollard the rest. And, you know, Tony's not a big blocker. That's kind of Zeke's job. And then Pollard can get these amazing runs and then get the chance to kind of like rest and then break off another big chunk run. Now you use those two together. You use him versus the Giants. I mean, I don't want to get too excited. I'm already nervous about this 9-point spread being like a jinx.
Trap game. But Jen, I will say, I'll give you credit. You know, the major, I think you being the Cowboys fan helps you in this regard, because you see amongst the fantasy community, it's like, get rid of Zeke, use Tony Pollard. And you have said Tony Pollard is only Tony Pollard right now because Ezekiel Elliott. And you're the one that's touting that. And I totally agree with you. And that's why Zeke is important. And Zeke is still a factor. He will get those touchdowns. Yes, Tony Pollard could do more. He's probably fresher, but they utilize him the perfect way. And you're leading the charge on that one. So credit to you.
And Tony Pollard's not tough at the goal line. Like, if you really want to send a bulldozer through for a 1-yard touchdown, you're not going to send Tony Pollard. Mm-hmm. You're sending Zeke. You're exactly. Fine to send Zeke, and he'll do it. And he loves it. And he's good at it. Why not? Everybody wins. It's expensive though. So waiver wire ads, let's run through them really, really quick. Quarterbacks, guys, you know, you probably don't need anybody. I hope you don't need anybody this week, because it's thin. Running back, Samaje Perine is probably a priority and is available in 97% of leagues. Now, I think it's interesting, when Jamar Chase went out, we were all like, who's it going to be? Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins? You know, T. Higgins finally did have a good game. But in reality, the running backs have had 8 combined touchdowns in the 3 games Jamar Chase has missed. Half of them have come through the air. So they're being used as really versatile weapons. Samaje Perine had 3 of them. He didn't have a rushing touchdown this week. He had 3 receiving touchdowns this week. He didn't actually do that much on the ground, but he put up a huge day on the stat sheet. Now, Chris Evans is banged up. Joe Mixon left with a concussion. That leaves most of this to Perine, assuming they're both out. Now, the counter will be, but the Titans have a really tough run defense. They're allowing like 66 yards per game or something. However, my counter is they have allowed a league-leading 229 receiving yards across the past 4 contests to running backs that catch. So there is an opportunity for Piran and 97% available if you need him, if you want to stash him. He's someone to get. Other than that, not that interested. Rashad White, we talked about last week. He has a great matchup this week. He's probably not available anymore. Same with Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco looked good. He looked like he finally led this backfield. Probably not available, but please check for Rashad White and Isaiah Pacheco before you check for anybody on your waiver wire. After that, it gets slim pickings. You know, Gus Edwards too is someone you should check. After that, it's kind of like a lot of meh, maybe handcuffs. Don't make any major moves.
I'll throw out, you know, not necessarily a waiver pickup, maybe in some league, deeper leagues, but with one of the Miami Dolphins running back scenario, I could foresee a game where the offense just goes crazy early and then they just sit on the ball the rest of the game and you get a ton of carries. I know Jeff Wilson's probably ranked really high this year, but Mostert a little bit further down around like a lot of ranks around like 30, 31. I mean, if he's around there and he's still available in your league, like I think the Texans are just waving the white flag. And I think
I'm starting both of those running backs
this week.
And I'm definitely probably going to be playing their player props too, because like even Antonio Gibson smashed his player prop versus Houston last week. So yeah, that is definitely a start. I agree there. Wide receivers. Darius Slayton is the guy now, right?
He kind of
already was arguably, but it's clear unless they go get OBJ. And even if they do, he'll still be, you know, getting worked in. Darius Slayton's the guy to have.
I, for listening to this and you want to play him before this Cowboys game, I'm not going to poo-poo that just because obviously just the lack of healthy bodies on the Giants. I am a little afraid of this, you know, matchup probably with Diggs, but the Giants probably will be down. They will be throwing the ball a lot. But in terms of the Giants using Slayton, he's always been DJ's guy ever since the beginning. He's kind of just got lost by the wayside because of all the additions at receiver. But the problem is now, obviously, all those receivers are injured or useless like Kenny Galladay. Darius Slayton is also playing for his NFL career, like to stay alive to get another contract. So you keep that in mind because he has performed. I think if you can get him. If you could start him, I would start him.
Donovan Peoples Jones is another player. 5 consecutive games with 60 or more receiving yards, scored his first touchdown of the year this week. Now we know they're going to have a change of quarterback in a few weeks. In theory, that can only get better for him. I mean, that's the theory. Deshaun Watson did lead the league in passing yards the last time he played a full season in 2020. So Donovan Peoples-Jones also has a really, really good schedule for the fantasy playoffs. And that's somebody you're going to want to have some claims in for. Treylon Burks, available in 80% of leagues, 111 yards, 7 catches, 8 targets. He's at 15 targets across the past 2 weeks. This is a guy that could end up being a league winner if he can truly step into that wide receiver one role for the Titans, because Ryan Tannehill actually looked good this week and Derrick Henry creates opportunities for that passing game. And they're still looking for their AJ Brown, right? AJ Brown was great in this offense. If Treylon Burks can step up, he's someone you're going to want to try to at least get your bids on this week.
Totally agree. I went after him in one of my leagues. You said it there. Not only Ryan Tannehill playing better, but Derrick Henry being just so effective. And this is the time where he always shines. Late in the season, he just wears teams down. They need their A.J. Brown replacement. Treylon Burks is that guy. Great for him to come back from the injury looking like better, more refreshed. And he's probably the reason why Tannehill is playing better, because you could rely on him. So I love Treylon Burks.
Yeah, Christian Watson is probably not available after he was the number one claim last week, but he delivered again, second week in a row. So maybe, just maybe, he's the new guy for Aaron Rodgers. Certainly worth a waiver wire out if he's available. George Pickens, if he's there. Garrett Wilson, if he's there, especially if they make the change at quarterback. These are just some ideas. Paris Campbell, just been, I think, 38 targets in his last 4 games played with Matt Ryan. So he's targeting that slot receiver, just a lot of opportunity there. So those are some guys to have your eyes on. You can always check out my article at si.com under the fantasy section. I write for fantasy embedding, and there will be more there as well. Tight ends, we kind of already talked about. It's just, you know, it's a tough situation. Do the best you can. If you're, you know, trade deadline is this week instead of last week by any chance? Some leagues have it this week. See if you can, you know, see if somebody has a couple tight ends. If you lost Kyle Pitts, if you lost Dallas Goedert, if you lost Zach Ertz, the list goes on and on. Hedy, yeah, it's been...
I was just going to say, too, with tight ends, I'm also glad that Dalton Schultz kind of figured things around. He was a guy that a lot of people took early to mid. But he's been okay enough. Hunter
and
Henry,
Dawson Knox is looking
Dawson
better,
Knox
right?
Dawson Knox has been great. Yeah, I was kind of shocked that Hunter Henry, one target, one catch. He's usually Mac Jones' guy, especially in the red zone. But the problem, like, Mac Jones statistically had an okay game, but he didn't really impress me either. But normally I would say that Hunter Henry I'd feel pretty good about. But who knows? But again, another weird matchup.
I think in the tight end position, you just like pray that your guy happens to have a good week. And then you just worry about all the other spots because you can only, there's some things you just can't control in tight end. Just let it go. It's been a crazy season. And I do think it's getting a little bit easier to predict as we get into the rhythm. But even still, Saquon being limited to 22 yards versus the Lions. Did anyone see that coming?
They
22 yards versus the Lions.
I guess the Lions. They're, you know, who's Aaron Glenn? Aaron Glenn's defensive coordinator, I think it is, but he just like, okay, they ran the ball a crap ton versus Houston, where Houston didn't really fully try to sell out to stop the run. The Lions did. I mean, Daniel Jones had a pretty nice day. I mean, he did have those two picks, but he did throw for 340 yards. He still torched them in the air, but they made sure that Saquon did not beat them. And I think that's going to be the theme the rest of this way. It goes, oh, you're just trotting out just Darius Slayton and no one else. Well, Saquon, you know, he's not going to do anything on the ground. We're going to put, you know, 8+ guys in the box, and we're just going to, you know, not let him do anything. And that's what's going to happen. So I don't want to tell fantasy players who have Saquon that expect less, but it would not shock me, especially if the Giants are going to be down in the games. They have the Eagles matchups coming up, tough games versus Washington, obviously the game versus Dallas, Vikings, not a great schedule.
But for fantasy, Daniel Jones has been excellent.
Yeah,
I think he will remain so. I think last time he faced Dallas, he had 71 rushing yards. So, you know, there's a lot of potential there for fantasy goodness, even versus a tough defense. Now, I do think the pass rush will get to him. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a fun game. I'm going to say all this and we're going to get upset by the Giants and it's going to be embarrassing because it's going to be on national TV versus an injured team at home. I'm trying the reverse jinx now. How am I doing?
It clearly is one of those trap games. They are trotting out practice squad players. There is no reason the Cowboys should lose this game at home on the national stage during Thanksgiving. But I mean, if Daniel Jones somehow finds a way to win this game, and I think it will be up to him because I just don't see Saquon being able to do too much. If you win this game,
well,
the
Cowboys have actually allowed like 136 rushing yards per game. There's a possibility.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I think they're going to have to get tricky with it. They're going to have to do a lot of play action.
I mean,
had a
good game versus Dallas first time around.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have adjusted. You're right. Mm-hmm. You'd think they would, but he might be okay. It's possible. Well,
I would love the Giants just to ditch the game plan and then just start going like shotgun 4 wide, just like every play, just run like streaks, like with two receivers at least, like change it up completely just to really throw off defenses. Cause this kind of same game plan every week after week is going to get figured out. So we'll see what happens with Mike Kafka. He has his work cut out for him.
Okay, everybody. We'll be right back after this quick break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
I think we had one question come in, Eddie. You want to take that?
Let's take it right now. I believe it was from our pal Tony Baker on Twitter.
Hey, Tony.
Quarterback question. We talked about them both. Tua or Herbert this week?
Oh, man. That's really hard. Mm-hmm. Tua actually has a tough matchup. Believe it or not, versus the Texans, and their game plan should be to run the ball a lot, as we talked about. And Justin Herbert has an awesome matchup versus Arizona. I think I would actually lean towards Herbert this week if all his weapons are healthy. If not, It's really hard to ever sit Tua. I mean, he's coming off a bye. He's rested. He's proven time and time again he's awesome. Good news is I don't think you're going to go wrong here. I just think Tua may not have the huge week. So if you're looking for that super high ceiling, I think he'll have a good week. He just may not have a crazy week, whereas Herbert has the potential for that. So if you're playing for a really solid floor, you just want a good solid start, start Tua, start him every week. If you kind of want to play for max ceiling, you could throw a dart at, or not throw a dart. You could just start Justin Herbert. And by the way, congratulations for having those two guys as your quarterbacks.
That was like my question to Tony is I'm going to write one to you. How did you get pulled?
How the heck did this happen? You were on the waiver wire earlier. You just had a magic eight ball.
I think you're right. Like, I mean, there's no wrong answer here. The one thing I would be afraid, like Justin Herbert is so good and so talented, as you talked about before, even with missing some guys, if he is missing some offensive weapons, he could still figure it out. Tua, the Dolphins have been on such a run. And I just think that this Texans matchup may force them to use the ground game more, but they're explosive. They're so explosive in the passing game. The only thing I'd worry about is, like I said, if they go up, you know, 20, 30 points, and then the second half too is just handing the ball off. So you may get one or two really good quarters from him. But that's that, because this Texans team is really just waving the white flag.
They are. Poor Texas. Whatever. It's okay. Their baseball team did very well this year, so don't feel too sorry for Houston.
They're
just fine. But I won't talk anymore about that. Eddie, what time do you eat Thanksgiving dinner?
That is a good question. Since I moved out to LA, I have not traveled back east. There's just no reason to. The weather here is great, and dealing with the ticket prices and all that. I used to eat way later when I was back east, closer to like 5 or 6. I think out here, we've been eating closer to like 4, 4:30. You know, the day starts a little bit earlier out here, obviously with the football on at 10 o'clock. So we're up and early, up and at them. So when I just do my Friendsgiving, it's a little bit earlier. I would say the turkey, though, around 4.
Okay, round 4. I think that's pretty standard. Like, I'm just interested when people eat. Some people eat it like at dinner, like at 7. Some people eat it like at lunch. I've always kind of been a middle of the day and then you continue to eat person. So I'm going for a solid, you know, around 3 o'clock. It's kind of in the middle of the Cowboys game, but, you know, we got to negotiate schedules here.
I think 3 o'clock is great. that to me is like, that, but then you have to put the bird in relatively early. But again, like if you're doing a West Coast one, you're pretty much up early anyway.
Did you ever do the wishbone pull when you were a kid?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
When did we stop doing wishbone?
I don't know. I've carved the turkey, but I never done the turkey prep. I almost did this year. We were going to host, but then some people back that are actually flying back home. So less people went to a smaller location for the Friendsgiving, and I'm just going to carve it up. I'm not going to do any of the prep.
I love Friendsgiving.
But I would love to get
Friendsgiving's awesome. I used to have one in New York that was like, it's just my favorite day of the year.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Definitely. Yeah. You avoid any family drama. Just
exactly.
Don't talk
politics. You don't talk anything you don't want to.
Exactly.
Done. We hope you guys all have a fantastic Thanksgiving. We will be eating. We will be rooting for the Cowboys and or Giants. And we will be posting our picks probably early this week, right? I guess I have to get mine in. Yeah. So be sure to follow them. You can play along with us, extrapoints.com/arcade. And other than that, we wish you guys happy week. You know where to find us if you need us. Enjoy the football.
Thank you.